is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
April 14th, 2019. Wasn't here last week. So much is going down in this freaking existence of ours. It's insane. I guess I'll start with, well, let me get the chat rooms, incendiaryradio.chatango.com, incendiarychat.chatango.com, incendiaryquencher.chatango.com, Hoolisblog.blogspot.com, WHOOLIS, blog.blogspot.com, commercial free in the morning. Last few shows, he said, hey, a lot of people that listen, so kudos to the audience. Tiger Woods, I figure I'll talk about that. I was talking to a buddy, this old guy that I drink with from time to time at the bar, and we were talking about when Brooks Koepka, he was tied for second today, this kid, he won the tournament here at the Belrive Country Club here in St. Louis. I guess it was one of these, the PGA, you know, I don't follow golf, you know, like all that, but all the old people do. And so anyway, and we were talking about it, and I was like, you know, all these people like are modern crap that we're involved in, and all these people that say white people are just inherently blah 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 blah, and the way I'm like, how could you sit there and watch, you know, I watched a little bit of this tournament, the way that all these white people in Georgia rooting for Tiger Woods, you know, and it's been like 11 years since he won a big tournament or some crap, I'm like, how do these, there's such a disconnect. These people run around and, you know, it's just like this example of these people that claim that, you know, that whites are the most evil people, like in the history of the blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, it's the exact opposite. And it's to their own detriment. It's like Dr. Kevin McDonald, this altruistic, this pathological altruism where it's almost like lay down and slit your own throat. They're so, you know, the other way around. And then if you look at black people in America, they've been so wound up by this Zio machine of brainwashing from academia to media and everything else that basically, you know, it's all about rooting for Tiger because he's partially black, et cetera, et cetera. And they couldn't care what he did in his personal life. Same thing with Obama. This guy, I mean, one of the biggest wrecks, train wrecks to ever walk through the doors to the White House. But they don't care. As long as he looks like them, it's all about that. And then people just, unfortunately, we're stuck in these paradigms and these ruts to where nobody can even look at this stuff logically. And, you know, and I'm just looking at it rationally, logically, scientifically, and it's just insane. But anyway, also Tiger Woods, all those evil clan members down there rooting for Tiger, and just, you know, I mean, it's just so silly. So where are we going to go? I mean, there's so much here. The CBD explosion, collapse of Mexico by design, California and Illinois trying to pass laws to force blacks and females on corporate boards of publicly traded corporations. this Nipsey Hussle character, 33 years old, the shooter's named Eric Holder. That's a whole nother. I saw so many weird, the way that the outpouring on media over this guy, and he's one of the guys behind the F Donald Trump, annoying ass song, but he's involved in that one, and he gets killed at 33 years old. Very interesting number. And then the shooter's name happens to be the same as the former Attorney General Eric Holder. I found that one very fascinating. I'm going to get into this Ilhan Omar thing. Okay, Ken, if you get clip six ready. Now, this is Blackstone Intelligence. And this embarrassing way that everybody from Alex Jones and his little protege, Owen Schroyer down there, and the president, and Don Jr., and Breitbart, and Gateway Pundit, and blah, 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 this kind of Zio right wing fell right into this. These comments by Ilhan Omar, this little Somali representative in Congress from Minnesota, and here's what's so interesting: you had these comments that got blown like into the stratosphere, and now you have this Somali throwing a little kid off the rail up on, you know, this Mall of America, and the kid's dead now, allegedly, according to reports. And so I find the timing here interesting, that some Somali character throws a little kid off the freaking, you know, off the third floor or whatever it is in this mall. I've never been there, but so this is an interesting juxtaposition of timing here. Now, I'm going to play this clip, and then we're going to kind of flesh this out. Let's roll clip six. Is it hanging up? Is it playing?
CARE was founded after 9/11 because they recognized that some people did something.
You have no idea right now.
Oh, there's another one. Another plane just hit.
Some people did something?
Oh, my goodness. There is smoke pouring out of the Pentagon.
This is from Trump Twitter.
It just flew straight into it.
They're showing the 9/11. Operation going down in the video. And then there's a second of a pause here, and then this guy's going to start talking.
I know how diabolical and duplicitous and treacherous these Zionists are, especially the Likud party, which controls the Israeli government. So folks, here we are, 2018. I look back on 9/11, on September 13th, 2001. I started researching 9/11, and I was good at it, and I had a lot of people on my side. I did not come around quickly to the idea that the Israelis and the CIA were part of this. I thought that it was some crazy Muslim murderers, terrorists. But like I said, I go where the truth is. I follow the facts. And if the facts refute a pre-existing belief, I am not so proud as to ignore that truth. I will embrace the truth, as hard as it may be to accept. And the truth is, the state of Israel is responsible for 9/11 more than any other party out there. And that is why I am such a strong anti-Zionist. I hate what they did to my country. From 1967 to 2001, I hate what these Zionists have done to my people. And I resent that there are so many people out there who go along with it. I resent that people who claim to be American patriots stand with the state of Israel, stand with Donald Trump as he goes and moves the embassy to Jerusalem and clamps down on other people who are the innocent parties. If you have to pick a side, it sure as hell isn't the Israelis.
All right, you can stop it there. Now there's some nuance here. Get into the protocols where it talks about the management of the lesser brethren. We always have to be mindful of that. There is this insidious elite inner core, of these guys that manage the lesser brethren. These are the ones that find it expedient from time to time to even, they're so ruthless, they'll kill their own. Okay, so we have to realize that. There's a bunch of people that have grown up in that state over there, totally blinded, and they're lesser brethren, and they're expendable, they're cannon fodder, and they're everything else. So there's a bunch of people stuck in there, too. We also have to get into the Khazar paradigm of, there's a whole lot of people racially that have grew up in the Jewish construct that are not on the DNA level, in a traceable fashion, Jewish either. Okay, they're Europeans. They're from the Caucasus region. They've got some Turk, Mongol bloodlines, and so forth and so on. So there's a lot going on here. It's not so cut and dry. And with this operation, when you look at this world conspiracy, a whole lot of treasonous people within our DOD had to be involved in this. There are Pakistan's ISIs connected to this thing, the Saudi intelligence is as well as Israeli. But when the Rothschilds snap their fingers, of course they're going to use some of their own to carry out a diabolical operations such as 9/11. The Office of Special Plans, the PNAC crew, this whole nine yards. You got guys like Rumsfeld and Richard Myers, the former chairman of the Joint Chiefs. You had a whole lot of people involved in this thing. The Bush family and Cheney. I mean, this thing is, and I'm sure the good old Brit MI6 gang, which is also Rothschild intelligence, by the way, they were all involved in this as well. And so this thing was a massive operation. But this, back to Ilhan Omar's talk about some people did something. Now, for those of us that are looking at it, this could cut two ways, because she's talking about CARE, the Council of American Islamic Relations, which I believe is a dummy shell organization, which is basically NWO serving as well. Now, whether Ilhan Omar knows this or not, regardless, she's a Somali Islamic woman. I did time in Somalia when I was in the military. We were basically what they call a Marine Expeditionary Unit. We were the first people there. So it's, when you look at the people like this that get recruited into politics. But anyway, some people did something. So these words, some people did something, it just started this firestorm. And, Owen Schroyer, the little character from InfoWars, I was listening to some of – he was filling in for Jones. Jones was out on the West Coast doing some things, doing some podcasts and so forth and so on. So Schroyer, he's basically running complete gatekeeper operations on 9/11 of late, talking about that there's so many people that think the Israelis, and he uses the term Jews to make it seem like you're an anti-Jewish person by saying, by implicating the Israeli government in this operation. And so this is, he's playing games, word wizard games. But basically, this is like this gatekeeper psyop you can watch go down right now. And it's cut right down the middle of basically alternative media, where you can see these people, you better jump on the 9/11 Islamic terror bandwagon, or you're off in the alt-right white nationalist Nazi blah 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 camp. Okay, and so there's this strange tearing asunder of camps and alternative media, and it's been working its way out, but people are learning that, oh, you better not go there with the 9/11. Hey, what? It's 18 years ago. Let's not even talk about it. Blah, 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 blah. And Netanyahu was prime minister when this thing went down. Okay. And so he just won his fifth term as prime minister. The Trump, Jared Kushner, of course, is tight with Netanyahu, and you know, he's got this history, Netanyahu does, with Mitt Romney. And Netanyahu, you know, in Pennsylvania there, Philadelphia and so forth, went to school here in the United States. Very, you know, I used to watch Netanyahu get interviewed on Christian Zionist, kind of like Bible prophecy TV, way back, I want to say 94-ish, 95-ish. Prophecy in the News with the late J.R. Church and then Gary Stearman, who now was with this outfit called Prophecy Watchers. It's his gig. And you know, it's the Tom Horn, Gary Stearman, J.R. Church, Steve Quayle kind of, you know, nexus there. And they're all basically Christian Zionists, but they're into the eschatological side of the house with looking at Israel, the state being like this biblical timepiece to look at to try to gauge where we are prophetically with Bible prophecy and so forth. Very interesting stuff. But some people did something. So she could be saying, hey, look, some terrorist did something. And then the entire Islamic community is being, you know, scrutinized and put under the microscope and so forth and so on. And so, or she could be insinuating that, look, this was a New World Order, Mossad, CIA, MI6, you know, ISI, whatever operation. Either way, for them to latch on to this, like she's trying to minimalize, you know, what happened, I think it's just disingenuous, and they're targeting this person. And I think there's plenty of things you could target her for other than this whole 9/11 some people did something remark. But you see, this keeps all of the veterans, the special operations guys, the gun people, like in the Gun Owners of America and NRA and the rest, it kind of keeps them on the mental plantation of, you know, it's just the Muslims in this planet that's trying to, you know, form this caliphate, and they're trying to overrun all the Western world and so forth and so on. And look, there's plenty of these guys, like I talk about Islamic chauvinism. People talk about Jewish chauvinism all the time. There's plenty of Muslim chauvinists that do want to establish Sharia in the world and so forth and so on. But this is a strange mix here. And you have to throw in the skullduggery of the Vatican in here too with the Jesuits. When you're looking at Venezuela, and I'm going to talk about that in a little while, Arturo Sosa, the superior general of the order right now of the Jesuits, is a Venezuelan. And But I don't want to get off into that right now. I've took some time here with trying to flesh out and to have you guys look at the PSYOP being run here with the Gateway Pundit and Breitbart and Daily Caller and the entire slew of basically kosher conservative media with their attack on this little Omar lady over this, rather than her being an open borders socialist Marxist, anti-white, all the other crap that's real baggage on this lady. They're conflating in with they're dovetailing in this whole 9/11 some people did something comments to make her like this pariah, like she's cool with whoever did that to the World Trade Centers. And if you look at the way those buildings went down, I mean, I've had Fetzer on so many times, Dr. Fetzer, and all of us are up to snuff on what happened basically with the September 11th operation, that two planes, whether they did even go into those towers or not, are not going to do all that damage. And then Building 7, Building 6, and all the rest of this stuff. So anyway, I've covered that. Let's move on. Where are we going to go here? Oh, let's go to Ken. Get clip one ready. You guys are going to love this. And I was going to play it the last time I was on. I just didn't have time. Dr. E. Michael Jones. Now, he's, you know, one of the foremost traditionalist Catholic, hardcore, no pulling punches guy. And most of you guys know who he is. The author of The Jewish Revolutionary Spirit and Its Impact on World History, numerous other books. But he happens to be from the same town as this new rising star, this gay mayor of South Bend, Indiana. That's where Dr. E. Michael Jones is from. And I don't remember if I played this or not. If I did, let's do it again. This guy, Boot Edge, okay? Pete Boot Edge Edge. That's how he pronounces it. He was on Bill Maher, and he's been making his rounds and raising all kinds of money, and he's gay, and he's an Afghanistan veteran, and, you know, all these, you know, the Marxist crowds going gaga over the guy. So listen very closely to Dr. E. Michael Jones. Just, I mean, it says like Dr. E. Michael Jones destroys Pete Boot Edge Edge in 35 seconds. Go ahead and roll it, Ken.
So he tells the mayor, tells us, well, the new trash trucks won't fit down the alley. Well, wait a minute. Why'd you buy them then if they're not going to fit down the alley? Because you don't understand the design of your own neighborhood. Is this surprising that you don't know the purpose of the alley? No, because you think that the anus is a sex organ, don't you, Pete? Well, that's going to be, that will impact your ability to deal with trash collection, won't it? Because you don't understand what design is, do you? No, you don't.
All right. So, 35 seconds, Dr. E. Michael Jones. I guess they bought a bunch of trash trucks there in South Bend that they're too big to fit down the alley to get to the dumpsters, et cetera, et cetera. So, Dr. Jones is like, well, you obviously don't know what design is because you think the anus is a sex organ. When I saw that, I cracked up. And it's still funny as hell to... because the dude is just, and he's been on Owen Benjamin a couple times on YouTube interviews. It's funny stuff. Owen Benjamin is just a trip, and but Dr. Jones just you know, no punches pulled, no filter, just boom. Okay. Let's see, where are we gonna go? Oh, let's go to Julian Assange real quick. Okay, now. There's so many people all over the map on this arrest, and I got Henry Matkow's article from today. Arrest of Julian Assange is just theater. Okay, Assange is a Rothschild Israeli operative. Disclaimer: many well-intentioned people have pinned their hopes on Assange being a genuine voice for government transparency, but. This guy, whoever writes this article, serious warnings cannot be ignored. We must never underestimate the stakes in the grandmaster chess battle for our minds and with them our lives. Now, Ken, if you would get clip 8 ready, and we're going to play that in a minute. Okay, so I'm going to read a little bit of this article. This past week, Britain got the perfect media distractions from its massive betrayal of Brexit voters, the arrest of Julian Assange, and the London Ecuador embassy a month after Ecuador received $4.2 billion in funding from the USA-dominated IMF. Ecuador is also lined up for a new USA trade deal. So it's kind of interesting. They got $4.2 billion. Pompeo, if you remember, I played Pompeo, was saying that he basically Assange is a traitor and should be executed. And remember, Woolsey said that as well. We all tend to be too eager for a hero against the establishment, so we don't recognize that sometimes a fake hero is supplied by the CIA's own favored media outlets. And this, you know, the Snowden and Assange, and you know, you got William Binney, who makes his rounds on InfoWars and plenty of other places. You know, this is hard to really figure out for those of us that are not in the know, because like it says, we all want our own heroes and so forth. But you know, I like to read into both sides and look at it. And indeed, there is evidence that anti-9/11 truth Assange is a Mossad CIA fraud with a long history tied to the world's wealthiest family, the Israel devoted Rothschilds. We need to see what every major government knows. There's nothing real about either Julian Assange or Edward Snowden. A helpful history is compiled in WikiLeaks as a Rothschild operation. Rothschilds use WikiLeaks to wound rival bank. Julian Assange's bail posted by Rothschild's sister-in-law. And these are all links here in the, you know, the Assange living in the Ecuador embassy for 7 year story is apparently a fairy tale, an easy hoax to pull off, with Assange only there for photos and meetings. The IMF-USA cash and trade deal for Ecuador not only rewards the staging of the arrest of Assange, but also the cover-up of the fact he was never really living there. And it goes on, you know, and it's a long article. You know, and I don't know. You know, remember the whole thing with the WikiLeaks and the dumps on Podesta, the dumps on Hillary, Obama, the succulent hot dogs, the Pizzagate stuff, you know. You know, there's so many angles here to try to look at when you're trying to flesh this out and, you know, get kind of a feeling for what is and what isn't. I mean, we're being led down so many directions. This psychological warfare against us. I mean, look at the warfare against the idiots that watch the TV. Okay, so that's one layer. But then all of us that are out here into quote unquote alternative media, there's just as much warfare going on. And so that's why you can always find people of the diametrically opposed when you're looking at any issue. You're going to find hoaxers, you're going to find anti-hoaxers, you're going to find this was a real incident, no, this was a fake incident, blah 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 blah. You know, like, and I was talking about that Christchurch thing. You know, the images presented to us by this Brendan Tarrant character in real time on his little GoPro or whatever you want to call this thing, that's definitely highly questionable footage. Now, was there somebody, you know, outside of that footage really pulling an operation? Hell, I don't know. That's miles and thousands of miles away from us. And so I look at this stuff and you know, you like, look, the images presented, the footage presented to us is farcical. Now, did a bunch of cleanup boys, you know, go through there and kill a bunch of people afterwards, like I was saying a couple weeks ago? Hell, I don't know. I don't know much these days, because I realize the deception level. That's why the Bible talks about, even in this time period, that things are so crazy that even the elect could be deceived. Because the deception levels, the ability to manipulate footage, the ability to manipulate minds, and you're getting into this quantum effect stuff with people who are talking about the Mandela effect and being able to, you know, This stuff's so crazy now. People like normal Joes like you and I trying to figure this out, it's very overwhelming, and sometimes it gets you down to the point where you're just like, do I even want to continue doing this? You know, I question this all the time, and I'm sure other people that do radio, especially like little, you know, nobodies like us here on RBN and other people that don't have real, you know, like we're not making income from it. You're like, is this, you know, a couple of, you know, it takes you a few hours to put a halfway decent show together. But is this something I even need to be doing? Or is this reality of ours so synthetic and so over the top? Is this pointless? I ask myself this all the time. We'll see you guys in a few minutes.
Mass media, it's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org, and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint.
Go now. This is disturbing stuff. Ken, get clip 9 ready, okay? And then I'm going to read a little bit of a kind of an alert. And we all know that with the De Blasio and I, this whole New York crack down this weird vaccine garbage with the measles and so forth in New York. You had that, what was it, Kings County? And I'm going off the top of my head. And then you had de Blasio, this Marxist thug, running the city of New York. From what I understand, not very well, and it's getting very goofy again. But with this vaccine stuff. But let's listen to this clip for a minute, and then I'm going to read a little bit of this alert, and we'll kind of tie this together. Go ahead and roll clip 9.
There's something very sinister going on in our country right now, which obviously shouldn't surprise anybody. But I have been calling this for years. This invasion that we see happening at the border right now is not some accident. It's a well-orchestrated agenda. And the response from government, including the president, is also orchestrated. California's baby bust. State's birth rate drops to its lowest level on record. Record low birth rate in California expected to keep on falling. The population slowdown is doing a number on SoCal. California exodus. Study says more people leaving the state than moving here. But then we hear this.
How many people are going to be there, are going to be added to the city?
Approximately 10,000.
The short answer to your question is we're growing as a city. SCAG is projecting that this city will add about 20,000 people in the next 20 years.
And the population projections for the next 20 years would bring another about 55,000 people, and depending on how big the average household would be, that could be another 15,000 or 18,000 new households.
So someone is obviously lying. One thing about the Democrats that I give them credit for is they always tell you what they plan on doing to you, whereas the Republicans pretend to be your friend and then stab you in the back.
Do you know that most of us aren't producing enough children? We're not. You need at least 2.2 to replicate, to grow your population, keep up, to where you're at. We're getting like China and Japan. So if we don't immigrate, then we better have more children. We have to do one of those two things if we want to continue to grow our economy and be a successful country.
So that's the former mayor of Los Angeles, and he just told us the plan. The plan is we have to grow the population. And if we aren't making enough babies, then we have to bring in people who will make enough babies. Now, the reason why we have to grow the population is because the size of government is always growing. And the more government we have, the more taxpayers we need to support it. So the system is not going to allow for a reduction in the population, at least not at this time. Now, I am of the opinion that Donald Trump was installed as president for this very moment. For 8 years, we had to live under Obama, and with the rise of the alternative media, millions of people started to wake up to the reality of what was really going on, and many of those people voted for Trump. I have since come to learn that Trump's most fanatical supporters are the people who voted for Obama. They're the people who had never once voted for a Republican in their entire life. They are emotionally invested. And they cannot admit that they have been had, because then their whole world will come crashing down, as they will then have to admit that both sides are screwing us. Donald Trump was installed because there would have been a revolution in this country had Hillary gotten elected. But instead, Trump got elected, and he has pacified the right. Things are happening right now on Trump's watch that if they were happening under anybody else, people would be freaking out. Like this article, for example. This is just from yesterday. The Border Patrol is catching 100,000 illegals at the border every month, which really means that 200,000 to 300,000 are getting through undetected. If Hillary Clinton was the president right now, and this was the headline, I guarantee you There will be thousands of men at the border right now with their guns. But those
pause
very
it.
Men
pause
are
it for a second. Now, look, this is complicated to me. This isn't black and white, okay? Now, you know, this young lady, Miss Nielsen, just got fired, okay, as DHS and some other the head of customs and Border Patrol, CBP or whatever, is going to be the acting head of DHS. When, you know, you get these reports, okay, from Border Patrol that this how many hundreds of thousands have coming through and so forth and so on. The government, you know, people, I'm not going to say the government, people in the government lie all the time. Okay. Now, we've been taken down so many different fear, doom roads and so many psychological warfare operations running against us. Remember Jade Helm, okay, mastering the human domain, okay? I for some reason, Jade Helm keeps popping in my head when I'm looking at these crises at the border and all of this stuff. And then I'm going to read this, alert, which is another kind of from a federal LEO on the border, most urgent warning yet on border invasion and the real purpose of allowing all sick immigrants in. Okay, this ties in with the vaxxers in New York and so forth. This is what's going on. The border is being flooded by an invading army that are potentially carriers of infections, of deadly pathogens. This is soon to become one of the many dominoes falling into position to take away your rights and freedoms. I firmly believe the government will push a nationwide mandatory vaccination after one of these bioweapons is successfully loosed in our cities and towns. And I've talked about the bio angle since I've been on the air for 5 years when I was a caller into RBN and other networks. I was talking about it. It seems like the bio angle would be the most effective to keep everybody in line with like quarantine type scenarios. And we've seen some of these kind of dystopic movies and so forth. Where they were enforcing quarantines, movies like Outbreak and that other one where Bruce Willis was a crazy general that kind of got off the went off out of his lane and started acting crazy. I don't remember the name of that one, but the bioweapon angle will keep the enforcer class, I think, closest to following orders versus whatever other angle, collapse type angle, or let's just say military kind of occupational angle, when you got the bio strain of some deadly, you know, pathogen or something ripping through the community, then you're going to have these guys that are, you know, with their gas masks on saying, well, we got to keep these people behind the barricade over here, or they're going to infect blah, 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 blah. You can see how this would play out. So I'm going to go back to the article here. Listen, people, this hysteria about measles or the flu has put many not so bright sheep into a panic. Many in our nation will willfully comply to the dangerous vaccines. Take a look at Brooklyn, for example, force vaccine or pay the fine or time in jail. What about your constitutional rights? Well, in that community of Brooklyn, New York, you have no rights, apparently. Well, you're under a Marxist occupational corporate bankster police force there where the Second Amendment's not even in place, you know, so forth and so on. Our communities across the nation are not uniform. That's why, you know, if you live in a place where the Second Amendment is already pretty much squashed and only people that got guns are the criminals and the cops, you might want to look into relocating. What about religious exemptions? Nope, you don't have that either, I guess. What about my Second Amendment rights? That stops the government from forcing their rules, which are against the Constitution, on my person and family. Well, New York has all but killed the Second Amendment and your ability to say no to the government. Has anyone else noticed that this is going on in New York and not Texas, Kentucky, Tennessee, the Carolinas, blah, 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 blah? You get the point. This, ladies and gentlemen, is a trial run for what's coming, medical tyranny. Now, when I was reading this, if you remember Dr. Benjamin Rush, one of the founding fathers, and he had serious warnings way back then when they were putting together the Constitution about he wanted some sort of a medical liberties encoded and enshrined in the Constitution, because he warned us that tyranny was going to come via this angle, the medical angle. And it fascinatingly, we see the progenitor of this. And, you know, look, we got to realize that the evil ones, when you can look at like a warning from Dr. Benjamin Rush as this, hey, man, this guy was warning us, so it's a good thing. Always keep ourselves vigilant. Well, guess what? The evil ones, when they read that, they'll be like, oh, great idea. We're going to use that. It's just like the Bible. Whether you believe the Bible or not is really, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but I mean, you got to realize the evil planners of this world are using the Bible against the population. And so, yes, they're using it as a weapon, you know, because they see that the thing that history is laid out before us. And so they're be like, okay, well, we don't believe that this is how it's going to end, but we're going to use the machinations contained therein to really mind screw the public on the way down towards the final conflict, as the Omen 3 is named, the final conflict between good and evil. Now, they think they're going to win. They think that ultimately the God of the universe is not going to be here to put a stop to, you know, where it says without basically an intervention, no flesh would be saved, except those days be shortened, blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, you got your – everybody's got to, you know, look at what they believe and what they believe the future is going to bring and so forth and so on. Everybody's got their, you know, the Muslims got their little Mahdi vision and blah, blah, blah. The Jews got this, well, Orthodox, Chabad, Lubavitch, all this gang, they've got their little warrior Messiah that's going to come and crush all the non-Jews and make them all kings, and you know, and the Muslims are going to have their virgins with the black-eyed virgins and the rest of it. Christians have their view of what the end's going to be, the biblical, so forth and so on. So everybody, you know, the atheists are just going to believe that they're going to die and they're not, you know, that's the end of their existence. People on the Eastern, you know, Buddhists and Taoists and all the rest of them, they've got their beliefs of what happens when they leave this life and so forth and so on. So medical tyranny, Dr. Benjamin Rush, look that up as his warnings. Let me tell you what I see unfolding. I'm back to this article. When you force medical tyranny on the population, most will comply. The few who resist will be dealt with by the government and fined, arrested, or incarcerated, probably sent to an encampment where the other non-vaccinated will go. Does that sound too far out? Well, it gets better. Let's say a nasty virus, plague, bacteria, or bioweapons are wreaking havoc across the states, and many are getting sick and some are dying, but not really enough for a state of emergency to be declared, but yet just enough for the media to overwhelm the screens with scenes of horrifying what ifs and other fear-mongering stories, and they bring all the experts who try their best to scare you into the medical offices for that hopeful cure, but you don't want to go. Okay. And so it goes on and on, but it's an interesting angle. And I've talked about this since I've went on the air. And so, Ken, get clip 12 ready. And this ties into the last, audio where it talks about nobody having kids and all this stuff. And we see the rise of this character, Mr. Andrew Yang. Okay, he's over there running for the Democratic nomination against Buttigieg and Kamala and Cory and the rest of these people. But he, Mr. Andrew Yang, it's quite fascinating. He's made the rounds over on Ben Shapiro, Joe Rogan, Dave Rubin, So you've got this intellectual dark web group with all these Jewish guys and Jordan Peterson and Joe Rogan. All right. And maybe Alex Jones kind of on the outskirts, but he's kind of a little bit brash and rough around the edges for them to, you know, and him and Shapiro don't like each other and all this other stuff. But let's see, we've got a few minutes left. Let's listen to this and listen to where it talks about, you know, this, when he talks about Joe Rogan and his white male age group and so forth and so on. Let's roll clip 12.
Until Andrew Yang, few, if any, candidates were talking about the rise of automation, spiraling birth rates, and historic rates of addiction and mental illness. His first appearances, such as those on Sam Harris's podcast, didn't generate much buzz. At that point, he was among the unlikeliest of candidates for the Democratic nomination, like many obscure figures before him. His appearance on the Joe Rogan Experience caused a massive boost of public awareness. But it isn't necessarily the Democratic base rallying around him, which is far too busy with the politics of intersectionality. That much is to be expected when a huge number of people who discover you come from Joe's much more centrist podcast. It's those who have a vague sense that these issues are on the horizon, many of whom happen to be on the right. That a great number of those curious in the candidacy of Andrew Yang aren't on the left might come as a surprise to casual onlookers. After all, his single-issue mission of a universal basic income sounds a lot more like social redistributionism rather than the blind allegiance to free markets that overtook the right following the Reagan Revolution. Which more or less brings us to the rise of the Yang Gang meme's newfound virality and its connected meme of Potato Trump. Yang's riding a wave similar to that of Tucker Carlson's following his debate with Ben Shapiro on these same subjects. As a candidate, Donald Trump captured that same mood in a roundabout way through his hardline stances on immigration, his pledges to restore manufacturing industries, and his efforts to attack the opiate crisis plaguing those areas of the country. Yang goes a step further with his pledge to tackle the opiate crisis, even to the point of prosecuting pharmaceutical executives responsible. Trump obviously ran on a platform of only me. Beyond the appointment of judges, he's done very little towards capturing the nostalgia behind Make America Great Again. As is well understood, Trump relied upon white American support and frustrations in order to coast his way to narrow success. What makes Yang a unique outlier on the left is that he's neededly pointed out that among white Americans, deaths now outnumber births, a clear marker of familial decline.
Car accidents used to be number one.
Yeah.
Suicides are higher than car accidents now.
Yeah.
So suicides, drug overdoses, and then car accidents? Like, or suicides and drug overdoses, like, equal?
I think drug overdose is number one.
Number one.
And then suicide's number two.
Wow.
And so that's why life expectancy has declined for the last
And you
years.
Think that the suicide, and very much likely, there's at least some of the number of the suicides are related to economic disparity.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you look at the suicide rate, it's particularly pronounced in 50 to 54-year-old white Americans. Which are the population, I mean, you resemble that.
That's me.
Yeah, that's you. Which resembles the population that right now is just reaching a point where they're like, hey, my job skills don't have any, utility in the marketplace. And then they go home and they just, like, you know, start looking around and being like, what am I doing? I mean, it's really dark. So those are the things that are at, like, all-time highs. It's like all these negative social indicators.
Mm-hmm.
Here are things that are at all-time lows. Getting married. Starting a business. Having a kid, moving for a new job. All of those things are at historic lows in the United States of America.
A widespread notion exists in the brainy establishment ranks of Republicans and libertarians that so long as we have cheap hamburgers and electronics, American communities can just be replaced by new immigrants. That core communities of Americans can vanish in the span of a few decades, an unprecedented development in this country, without vast social ramifications such as the ones we're already witnessing. The reason these events are unfolding are incredibly complex and can be traced to no one development, but it can be said that this isn't a viable long-term solution. These problems can potentially be addressed through tailored incentive structures to promote family creation, such as those which have been promoted by Hungary and Israel. Trump has spent no time devoted to this subject for some apparent reason, as though it's without dignity to address any subset of Americans experiencing the evaporation of their communities.
For this reason, some of Trump's previously most devoted followers are questioning their support of someone who looks a lot more like George W. Bush than 2015 Donald Trump. This became glaringly obvious after the Trump administration's abject failure on a signature issue, as February marked a 12-year high for illegal immigration. Because of a collective sense of social disintegration and nihilism among the Trump base, the overall rationale behind the shift to Yang simply boils down to this. If the country will veer in that direction anyway, we may as well strive not to spend our days in economic insecurity, especially if your political views lean right, which can literally cost you your job. But it isn't just economic concerns that has drawn support to Yang from the right. In response to a rising tide of technological censorship, President Donald Trump, who far leftists have called to be banned on many social media platforms, including Twitter, is fundamentally uninterested in addressing this issue, only advising fellow Republicans to be good. In stark contrast, Andrew Yang has gone as far to say that social media conglomerates should be trust-busted for their mass censorship campaigns. Where you come down on that debate is besides the point. It's obviously more favorable to conservatives who obviously face the brunt of censorship, with no clear solution on the horizon. It's largely for these reasons that pointing to any one particular left-wing policy listed on Yang's website is viewed as irrelevant by his right-wing supporters. If even under a firebrand Republican administration, the country moves leftward, spending more than ever before, receiving more illegal immigrants than under Obama, and seeing more technological censorship.
All right, go ahead and stop it there. And so this is, this to me, when I was looking at this Yang guy, and I'm looking at Ted Lieu, okay, and the Candace Owens massive blow up that happened. Okay, so Yang is appealing to some of these, let's just say, pseudo conservatives and so forth and so on. He threw a bone out over the circumcision and so forth. And so, you know, Daily Stormer, and he's goes, oh yeah, yeah, you know, they're all jumping on that for a cool deal. Okay, so he gets little brownie points there, but look at it. He's Chinese. And look, I'm not going to throw a Chinese guy necessarily under the bus and say he's a commie, but I'm sure the hell not going to say it, that he's not, because this Ted Lieu character out there in L.A., the congressman that they're throwing this thing out now where and I got to talk about this Laura Loomer, Stephen Miller, Avi Yemeni, all these Jews now are getting thrown under the bus as being white nationalists, along with Candace Owens. And so this is another psyop, and we got about 4 minutes left. But so Yang, he goes on Rogan, and he with Sam Harris and Shapiro and so forth and so on. So he makes his rounds with the kosher conservative, and kind of like this. You know, Rogan is not a, you know, he's just like this person that interviews everybody. So he's making his points with some of these people's audience as being somebody that's not, you know, out there in necessarily Marxistville, even though he's for universal basic income. And he says it's necessary because people are going to be phased out of so many sectors of employment over the next, you know, few years here because of this technological just explosion. And, you know, I used to get called a neo-Luddite back, I don't even know how long ago it was, because I was leery of the expanse of tech in, let's just say, the nefarious kind of use sector, you know, like, you know, having assist with surgeries and things using technology when they're doing surgery on people and so forth. You know, there's points to be made there, but when you're talking about implanting wetware into people's brains and all of this, this is where we go down the mark of the beast, image of the beast hole with all of it. Second hour coming up.
Don't regret growing old. It's a privilege denied to many. Heart disease is taking our youth from us. Young people in their 30s, 40s, 50s, and beyond are dying needlessly. One of the hardest messages I've ever had to deliver is to convince people that something natural like Extendivite should be taken as a preventative measure. I'm sure you heard, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Extendivite is that ounce. Take Extendivite for 1 year and see what your doctor has to say and how much better you feel. Herbs take time to address the problem. It took years of life to have a problem. Give Extendivite 1 year to fix the problem. Don't wait until it's too late. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or visit us on Amazon.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You're listening to the Rep-